Chapter 9, Rue Danton, Paris, 1945. New email from Chip Collins to Julie Taylor. Date, February 29, 2020. Subject, Rue Danton, Paris, 1945.
Has Nicola ever told you what a good dancer he is?
Marie is chuckling to herself, nudging Tesla with her elbow. We're standing around her huge lab table looking at a blueprint of some mixture of a spaceship and a torture device. Man, this is some serious stuff. And thank God Marie's trying to keep it light.
He would make my late husband Pierre so jealous.
I nudged Tesla too. So you were doing a little Charleston, huh?
No, that was much later. In the early 1900s, Marie and I would dance the grizzly bear, and the turkey trot, and the bunny hug.
Ah, animal dances. Cool. Were they as cool as the di-di-doo dance?
Di-di-doo, di-di-doo.
And yeah, you guessed it. Gigi and Hannah make us all do the di-di-doo dance again, and wow, I never thought my shins could hurt this much from all the damn kicking. We let the kids and Bobo continue on their own. They'll have to decide which one of them gets kicked in the shins. And we get back to the table. Not that I'll be doing anything but nodding and harumphing. Marie points to the little box between the two coffins and shakes her head.
No, not polonium. Not powerful enough. I'm sorry, Nicola.
Tesla suddenly looks shaken.
Then this entire journey?
Marie chuckles and pulls on some serious-looking leather gloves. Opening a small refrigerator behind her, she uses tongs to lift out a small tube, placing it reverently in the middle of the table. Inside the tube, if you look close, is another teeny tube with a few drops of clear liquid inside. She winks at Tesla.
No, no, my dear Nicola, your journey was not in vain. In order to power the multiverse entropy restabilizing DNA energizer, you'll need this.
I bend down and peer into the vial. Eye drops? She laughs.
Ah, Chip, I don't think you want to use this in your eyes. It's radium.
Radium? Is that like rhodium? Like the metal the in controller is made out of? You know, and Bach's horn?
Who is Bach?
How much time do you have? She considers it, but I can see she knows I'll take 3 hours to tell her the story of Bach and the legend of the demon and the king, and she decides to move on.
No, Chip, rhodium is a noble metal, like platinum, though even more rare. Radium is what we need, a radioactive element 1 million times more radioactive than uranium. My late husband and I discovered it. The decay of just one drop of this should have just the right frequency, a good tone, if you will, bon ton.
Bon ton, bon ton.
Ah, our little friend Bobo here speaks.
I hunt around for a paperclip. Marie, don't encourage him. But the leg humping has already started, and she's kind of getting a kick out of it.
Bon ton, bon ton.
My, you are a feisty little thing.
He'll be done in a minute. Pete raises his hand. Listen, I'm hearing a million times more radioactive than uranium, and Pete's DNA used in the same sentence. Am I going to grow 3 heads or something?
Marie smacks his hand playfully.
Nonsense. No, the radium will be housed like this, in a double shield, and will only interact with DNA taken from a few hairs from each of you. It will simply be amplifying the effects that your bodies, in co-proximity, but a safe distance from the radium, are having on the paradox.
She waves her arms at all of us now.
Now, all of you, but Nicola and Calvin. Class time is over. Leave us. The grown-ups have to get to work.
Did you say grown-ups? Awesome. That's my cue. And I grab the kids and me and Pete and Barb head for the door. Calvin shoos Bobo out with us, too. And believe me, you don't say no to a 7-foot-tall Deinonychus. And we all leave them to craft whatever mad scientist mind-bending doohickey they're cooking up. Out on the street, the kids are waving at all their new French friends. The whole vibe is still very celebratory. I mean, we just won a world war, right? I notice on the corner a little hubbub. Not quite a commotion. Hey, see what I did there? I got to use two of my favorite words at once, hubbub and commotion. Anyway, there are people surrounding one of these statue people performers. This one looks like a Roman centurion. Cool. Wait, the guy's not standing still. He's scared, looking around like, where the fuck am I? Waving his hands around for the people to stay away from him, but they're clapping and shit. It's all part of the act, right? No, it isn't. The guy's scared because he's an actual Roman centurion. Another one of those temporal anomalies. What the hell is going on? Hey, Pete, look at the... But he's gone. They're up ahead at the gelato place.
but I can't take my eyes off this Centurion guy to catch up to them. I'm glued to the spot. A voice to my left.
Weird, right?
I whip around, look down. A teenage girl points her chin at the hubbub, looks up at me and grins. Huh. There's something about her face. Something. Oh, my God. Gigi.
Hey, Dad.
Oh, my God, Gigi. I pick her up and twirl her around. She's practically weightless. Is it really you?
Good question. This is equally weird for me. I'm not from around here. Where are we?
Paris, 1945. I think you're a temporal anomaly.
Temporal anomaly. Pretty fancy words for you, Dad.
My eyes well up. You know me, fancy word guy. God, I can't believe I'm having a conversation with our teenage daughter. She was 2 years old a minute ago. Hey, honey, why are you here? Or is it just random, like that Centurion?
No, I think I'm here because I have a question.
I lean down to get a close look. Yes, same eyes, just older, maybe 14 or so. Same dimples, same reddish-brown hair. That perfect mix of Julie and Chip hair. Sure, Gigi, what's up?
What was Mom like?
It's like a punch in the stomach. This anomaly, I don't know, does she represent some possibility of a future where we never get back to 2020? Where our baby girl never gets to know you? My heart starts hurting, breaking to pieces. I can hardly stand it. I'm wiping back the tears now. Well, you know what the old man would say. She laughs, a light little laugh from somewhere far away.
Yeah, he'd say she was the bee's knees.
The bee's knees. She was. But God, she was, is, so much more. When she smiles, it's like the glow from a campfire. It warms you and keeps you safe from the dark. Like your smile. Actually, exactly like your smile. And she had this way of burping you. It was hilarious. She'd swish you back and forth across her chest, then suddenly bring you up to her shoulder and you'd burp, and she would shower you with kisses. And then you got a little older, so you didn't need burping, but you'd still climb into bed sometimes and crawl onto her and squeal, boop, just to get the swoosh and the kisses all over. Oh, there's so much more I need to tell you. But I can't even get the words out. I'm heaving, sobbing. It's hard to breathe. I'm bent over on my knees now, lost. She pats my back. Yes, once again, our daughter is comforting her blubbering dad. Then, I don't know why, I burp. We both laugh.
That's better, Dad.
She kisses me on the head.
Well, look at me, just like Mom.
I raise my head enough so we're eye to eye, and I realize it's Gigi, but it's also you in there. I can see you through time and space and dimensions. God, I could stay here forever, but I can't. Julie, we're coming to get you. Her smile fades and she kisses me on the cheek one last time.
I know. But you better get your ass in gear.
And I'm left there on the sidewalk of Rue d'Antin in Paris of 1945, talking to thin air on my knees. I don't notice the group of women veering to avoid me, or the guy taking a coin from his pocket and tossing it at my feet. All I notice are my hands shaking, and a thought pounding against my skull over and over. Time is running out. New email from Chip Collins to Julie Taylor. Date, February 29, 2020. Subject, R.E. Rue d'Antin, Paris, 1945. Hi, Julie. I feel someone kneel down next to me. Is this some kind of performance art thing? Oh, hey, Pete, aren't you with the girls? Barb's finishing up with their ice cream. I think they got more on their clothes than in their mouths. I saw you over here looking like hobo doomsday preacher, and I figured I'd come save you. You okay, dude?
Dude, I just had the weirdest experience.
Define weirdest. I'm thinking we've done a lot of weirdests. I get up onto my feet, pocketing the change I've been accumulating, and pick him up.
Well, first I saw that Centurion.
I look back to where he was, but he's gone. Well, he was there a minute ago.
Then I met Gigi, but she was older. But it was Julie, too. Dude, shit's getting more weird than usual, and I feel like time is definitely not our friend right now.
Hey, don't worry. By tomorrow morning, they'll have my little prison cell thing built, and we'll be on our way back to normal.
I laugh. Back to normal. I don't know. Do we ever get that back?
We'll get back, boys. You betcha.
Sauntering over to us is Barb, who's pretending to be oblivious to the whistles of various Parisian gentlemen. She lights up a cigarette and hands the pack to Pete.
I know. I'm a bad influence. But you boys look like you could use one.
Pete pulls one out and lights it, and as usual, looks like he was born for this.
I, on the other hand, start hacking up half of one of my lungs and spitting uncontrollably. Not the smoker I was in ninth grade anymore, I guess. Hey, Barb, I'm scared to ask, but where are the girls and Bobo?
Oh, they started chanting about seeing old man and, well...
Yeah, it's over when they start doing that.
Bingo. But Nicola was happy to see them, and I think he needed a break.
A kitten from nowhere starts zigzagging through our legs slowly, purring. I go down to pet it, and it runs away. But then it stops and looks back. It wants to play. So we follow it a little, this playful little thing, and suddenly it dashes into a gutter hole and disappears. Cute. I bend down and look into the hole. Nothing. And as I'm coming up, I notice it. The latch on the door to the office building right in front of me. A latch with a luggage lock. The door. That gray. That lock. It's exactly like a door in the ITA. No, not like. It is that lock. Pete, you seeing this?
Yup. Step away, dude.
So me and Pete back up a few paces, staring, but Barb approaches it. Barb, that's a bad thing, a very bad thing. Let's go upstairs and tell Tesla.
Oh, come on now, fellas, where's your sense of adventure?
Pete laughs. It left us the second we stepped into the ITA for the first time. Adventure's overrated.
Well, I think it behooves us to peek inside. It could be nothing. We don't want to alarm Nicola unnecessarily.
Pete turns to me. It behooves us. Great. She's starting to sound like you. I'm just staring at the lock. No, I don't like this, Barb. God knows where that door leads. Give me one good reason we should try it. In answer, she points up to the brass numbers above the transom. 2020. Of course. It's a coincidence, Barb. Come on, let's go upstairs. But before the words leave my mouth, before we can grab her, she's flipping the zeros, turning the latch, and jumping in.